Hello, hello, and welcome to the Samina Spin. Hello, hello, I jumped the gun a little bit. Hello, hello. Welcome to the Samina Spin. I'm your host, Samina Mughal. I hope everyone is well this hot Wednesday evening. It's hot in Georgia right now. It's in the 80s, but it's very welcome because I enjoy the hot weather. So tonight on the Samina Spin, you may have noticed it's called A Soul's Journey. That is the name of the short story I will be sharing with you. It's a little bit of a blast from the past for me and others who have read Scheherazade's Daughters. This story was a little unique in that one of the main characters was a man. Of course, there was another female character, and Scheherazade's Daughters were mostly female characters, but this story is a little special to me because this is a story that I wrote in honor of my late father, and it is a fictionalized version of his life. Not everything in it happened to him, but a lot of it did, and his birthday was yesterday. So I thought to myself, what can I do to commemorate his birthday and just honor him and pay homage to him? And I thought, let me share this story about his life story, his soul's journey. So I'd like to share that with you right now. A soul's journey. When Gulnara the fairy was fed up with human beings, she came across Junaid. While she was lost in deep thought, pondering their uselessness, pettiness, and downright immorality, she stumbled on a human being who seemed to have a heart beating somewhere in his chest. Walking through the bazaar, she saw a merchant refusing to accept payment for a beautiful blanket. This intrigued her because most merchants she had seen were amongst the greediest people in the world. She stopped her musings for a moment to watch this most amusing scene. "No, Hassan, it's my gift to you." "Junaid, please, this is your business. You insult me. You insult me by not accepting my gift. We're friends, are we not? In the name of friendship, please take it." "You're a rascal. I can't refuse you anything." "My wife tells me the same thing." They both laughed, and Gulnar could not help laughing with them. At that moment, she wanted to learn more about this man who seemed determined to show another man kindness. She was intrigued because it was quite obvious that kindness was an ideal that this man lived and breathed in. "You do realize that you missed something," she asked. "What was that?" he responded, fully aware of her meaning. "Usually a person chooses something and pays for it. It's usually not given away." "Bad for business, isn't it?" "Bad for business, maybe, but good for the soul, definitely. In any case, I made enough money for today. I don't need the money of a man who has a sick white Arab and poor besides." "You do realize that I could count on one hand the number of merchants in the world who would have done what you just did. And I would have fingers to spare." "I like to think that I'm not your average man." "I like to think that I'm not your average anything," he responded with his dazzling smile. Gulnar smiled back. As she did this, she wondered if this charming devil in front of her was aware that his smile could rule the world. In the same moment, she realized that he probably did. Judging from his behavior towards his friend, she suspected that Junaid was the kind of man who only used his charms for good, but at the same time, her lack of faith in human beings did not allow her to fully accept this assessment. She was determined to learn more about him. She returned to the bazaar the next day. She watched him yet again. She saw that every transaction he made was honest. He did not try to rob his customers, yet he made sure he did not incur losses. By the third day, Junaid was quite at a loss because he was not certain as to why this woman continued to watch his dealings. He also realized that if he was aware of her constant scrutiny, then the gossip mongers were too. Then it would not be long before his wife became aware of her. Normally, his wife was a quiet, unassuming woman, but she could be like a tornado where he was concerned. He did not want to be in the path of her ravings, yet enough to occupy his mind. At the close of business, he asked Gulnara what she wanted from him. There was something not quite right about her, but he did not sense any malicious intent from her. "Madam, I'm sure you mean no harm, but you know how people can be with their idle chatter. Who exactly are you, and what do you want of me?" "Trust me, I understand the vices of human beings, but before I answer, ask me for something, anything." "A jug of wine." At that moment, a jug of wine landed in Junaid's hand. He took a big gulp of it right away. He thought for a moment and then asked, "Madam Fairy, what will you have of me? Human beings have been quite a disappointment to me, you see. I have become used to their avarice, their jealousy, and their unreasonable desire for power. I have yet to see any of these qualities in you. I would be quite interested to know why." "Madam, you might still see these qualities in me. If by the end of the month you are still interested in my story, you may have it. I think by the end of a year that I would still be interested in your story. But I accept." What she observed of Junaid only intensified her interest. Quite charming, yet genuine. He had a penchant for exaggeration, but he was easily forgiven for it because it was all for fun, never for subterfuge. He was immensely kind, yet immensely brutal. If a person crossed him in any way, they would be put in their place as fast as a cobra strikes its prey. Yet even with this paradox, he was adored by all who knew him. He was now adored by Gulnara, but only the way all devotees adore the objects of their worship. So at the end of a month, she asked him again. This time, he complied. "I received the first obstacle in my life when my mother died," he began. "I was 5, and that is far too young to learn the unfairness of life. We were 5 siblings, and as our father was a traveling merchant, we were sent to live with his brother, who was living a more settled life. We essentially looked after each other as we were constantly reminded that we owed a debt of gratitude, so we tried to stay out of the way as much as possible. My sister was married off as soon as she came of age. I've always felt that I didn't spend enough time getting to know her. But what I did know, I loved. She was the closest thing I ever came to having a mother. Although there was always an air of indebtedness, I found a connection with my cousin Ali right away. From the time I was 5 years old until now, he's been more of an older brother to me than my real brother. Ali and I have had many adventures together, some of which I may actually tell you." He beamed his disarming smile. "My uncle loved me, but I think he was uncomfortable with how much he admired me because I wasn't his own son. It was almost as if his love had to stop at a certain point. Otherwise, he would be showing me more love than his own children, at least in his own mind. But I learned to accept love when it is given, even if it is not the way I would want or do myself. As time went on, I eventually decided to work for my uncle. The work involved much travel, and I found it wasn't for me, that I preferred a more settled life, like my uncle's. One day as I was walking, I stumbled and hurt my head. I am not sure how long I lay there, but when I awoke, I met the first fairy in my life." At this, Gulnara shot him a quizzical look. She was almost a bit jealous as she had come to think of Junaid as hers. "I'm sorry, Madam Fairy," he smiled, "but my wife Leila was my fairy long before you. Not to worry, though. There's room for you both." "I feel so privileged," Gulnara retorted. "She took care of me whilst I was recuperating. No human being has made me feel more loved than she. I am almost covetous of her. I simply think of her as mine. 20 years of marriage and 6 children haven't changed that. When we had been married 15 years, trouble ensued in the kingdom where I was born." "You're puzzled." "Yes, this is now my home, but I was born in the kingdom of Basra. At the time of my birth, the king was a fair and tolerant man. His son was something different altogether. He was always a power-hungry, arrogant sort. He wasn't a man interested in fair governance. He was only interested in what his legion of sycophants had to say. When the lines were drawn, I found myself on the wrong side. My family did not have roots in Basra, so the new king decided that the kingdom of Basra should only be for people who had their ancestral roots in Basra. Never mind those of us whose families had helped to build Basra. We had no place in a land we had helped to 30 days to leave or die. I took my family and whatever possessions that were not taken from me and came here to Sana'a. It was a difficult time. We only took what we could literally carry on our backs. I had built a reputation in Basra. Here, I had to start all over again, and I knew no one. I took my family to the first inn I could find and set off to make inquiries in the marketplace. I didn't have enough money to set up another shop, so I had to find work as a shopkeeper's assistant. I went from owning several shops to a shopkeeper's assistant and with a large family to support. But one must do what one must. It wasn't long before I met my mentor and friend, Rashad Uncle, who kindly gave me a job and after a few short weeks opened his home to my family and me. His daughters were married and gone, and they welcomed the clamor that my family brought. After a time, there was even more clamor as our sixth child came into the world. My poor wife was so afraid to tell me. She didn't want to add to my burden, and she felt that providing for another child would be another burden for me. How wrong she was, Madam Fairy. I've never seen any of my children as anything but a blessing. Never for one moment was I unhappy at the thought of this child. I loved her from the moment I knew she existed. I knew she would be nothing but a boon for us, and she's never proved me wrong. Rulers come and go, and the tyrant in Basra also went the way of all flesh. That place will never be the same for me. This is my home now. Would you believe Ali came to Sana'a at the same time my family did, and we did not know for a month of the other's whereabouts? Ali found work on the other side of this bazaar, and I happened to meet him one day. I think Allah never meant for us to be too far away from each other. There are some people in life, Junaid, who are meant to love you and be in your life no matter what you do. And there are some people who are not meant to love you and be in your life no matter what you do, Gunnar said. Very true, Madam Fairy, Junaid responded. In any case, Ali and I found each other. I'm glad we did because it took me a long while to find true friends besides Rashad Uncle and his wife. I was a stranger here at that time, and all my time was spent providing for my family. There's a difference between moving to a new place by force and by choice. There's a built-in resentment that you must overcome. I must say, it took me a while to let go of my resentment. When you don't do terrible things, yet terrible things happen to you, you start to become bitter. I found that issues that I thought I had buried were coming out in rather unreasonable ways. My reaction to Ali's brother, my cousin Saleh, was one. Saleh and I were never as close as Ali and me. He always resented it, and me. He was a spoiled child who was used to getting his own way. And when he didn't get it, there was a problem. When he had his little tantrums, he was placated. Of course, I was not spared his injustices, his thoughtlessness that sprang from overindulgence. He would do things to me here and there simply because he could, and I would have to get over it because who was I at the end of the day? Why shouldn't I put up with Saleh? He could do no wrong in his parents' eyes, so there was no point in arguing. So with a new land and a new life, I decided there would be new rules. No longer would I endure slights and disrespect. So when Saleh moved to Sana'a with his family, I decided Saleh was no longer welcome in my home. Puzzled, Madam Fairy. Disappointed. Not sure what you conjured up in your head about me. But I am only human, not an angel. I am puzzled as to what you hope to accomplish with such an action. Since circumstances brought him down a peg, you decided to show your power by throwing a tantrum just like him? Men have no idea what power really is. Power is silent restraint, refraining from action when you know you can act. Men will never understand this. Over time, I have learned acting, reacting, and in some cases, overreacting. These things accomplish nothing. But you will allow some mistakes in a journey that has been plagued with unforeseen, burdensome circumstances. As long as you learn from them, which it seems you have, Gulnar concluded. Be sure, Madam Fairy, He's long since moved to Yemen. He's no longer here. So I suppose we'll never see how much I've grown, he smiled. Somehow I think we will get to see, she smiled back. I think I would like to make peace with him at some point. We both survived expulsion. We both have families. All our petty squabbles seem insignificant now. He paused. In any case, Allah then saw fit to throw more trial my way. He fights with me. I fight with him. It's okay. Stop it, Junaid. Allah has better things to do than fight with you. He tries us all, comes in better human beings. Then I must be the best Muslim and human being in the world, he smiled again. You're impossible, Junaid. So my wife has told me many times. In any case, there was a fire in the bazaar and Rashad's uncle lost everything. So there I was again, with no work to speak of. Now, I had Rashad uncle and Parveen auntie to take care of. There was no way I would abandon them, especially after the kindness they had shown me. It's not an easy thing to start over again, and I have had to do it more than once. Then I had to do something that I'd wanted to avoid my whole life. I had to take what little I had saved working for Rashad uncle to join a caravan. I left my family for a year. Madam Ferry, I have been through many troublesome times in my life, but I must say, that year away from my family was the hardest of my life. But I did what I had to for my wife and my children. I saw much of the world in that year also. As you know, there are many wondrous things, but there also are many horrid things. I saw my share of both. I saw great generosity and great stinginess. I saw open charity yet severe harshness. For some reason, it all came in my direction. Again, I gave in to my despair, and as so many of us do, I focused on the negative only. I saw some men give up and leave their families behind. I would never do that. I could never do to my children what my father did. Point Junaid let out a deep sigh. He paused. Gulnar studied him. Junaid, why didn't you? I have found that most human beings will do to their children what their parents did to them. Most people act according to what they have seen, what they know. Why then did you do the opposite? Because throughout my childhood, I felt that I was denied my mother's love. That's understandable. That was Allah's decision to take her from us. But why was I denied my father's love? And he was still here. No child should ever have to ask that question. When I became a man, I swore that no child of mine would ever ask that question. She said nothing. She merely studied him, and he continued. After a year, I had earned enough to open a small shop of my own, so I returned home. It was a time of great joy. In time, I was able to open another shop, and thank Allah, we were able to live as comfortably as we did before. We continued to live quite happily. But was your question about your father ever answered, Junaid? No, I don't feel as if I was denied my father's love as much as it was masked by whatever it was he was going through. I have made my peace with the fact that that question will never be answered to my satisfaction. You know, once I alluded to his abandonment and he was actually taken aback. To him, since he knew we were taken care of, there was no fault on his part. How do you question someone who feels that they have done no wrong? It's a useless one-way struggle. In any case, he made me a better father, and for that I am grateful. You feel no bitterness towards him. Whatever bitterness I felt towards him left my heart long ago. I have forgiven him. In any case, he is gone now. It's up to Allah to judge, punish, or forgive. Again, Gulnar said nothing and simply gazed at him in admiration. After Gulnar left Junaid, she pondered him and his story. Many human beings, having had similar experiences, would have given in to despair and hopelessness. Many would have become bitter and hateful. Although Junaid was not a perfect man, he still had so much love in his heart. The small amount of love he received early in his life was enough to teach him how to love. Many who are surrounded by love still do not know how to love. Yet, he knew how to love and love with his whole heart. She also knew. that she would always love him with her whole heart. So Gulnara continued on in her travels, exploring the world and the human beings in them. In all her travels, she never forgot the one who touched her heart most. Time passed. She loved and had children. 20 years came and went in the raising of her children. After they had grown, she and her jinn husband returned to Sana'a. She longed for the two objects of her affection to meet each other. Yet, she was not prepared for what she found when she saw Junaid again. She found her human idol on his sickbed. Before that, she had to deal with his wife and her hysterics. Please help him. These useless doctors can do nothing for him. Of course, Gulnara answered, visibly shaken by the news of her friend. Silly mortal, what have you gone and done to yourself now? She asked. Me? What has Allah done to me now? I do nothing to myself. It is all according to his will, not mine. Still a rascal, aren't you? Still challenging Allah. You will meet him soon enough. I would love to see what you do then. You will know soon enough, Madam Fairy, he replied with a sigh. Still trying to keep the mood light, she introduced Junaid to her husband, Jalal. Glad to see you chose an immortal like yourself. A man would have been quite tiresome to you. You know me well, my friend. At that moment, he coughed for a few minutes. Then he took his medicine. This is the last round of medicine they have given me. If this does not work, there is nothing more to be done with me. Was there ever? He said with a laugh. You can't even take dying seriously, can you? She responded in an exasperated tone. How much is there really to ponder and brood over? One either lives or dies, not much in between. Over the course of a week, the doctors, Junaid's family, Gulnara, and her husband kept watch over Junaid to see if he improved. He did not. In fact, his pain worsened. The doctors finally told them all that there was nothing that they could do for him. When she was alone with Junaid, she said to him dispassionately, Let me save you. You know I can. No, he said simply. Why not? Because whatever I have said about Allah, religion, and all the insanity that goes with it, I believe in his will. Every experience I've ever had, no matter how joyous or painful, I am quite grateful for. Even at the end of my journey, I am still grateful. How do you know it is not Allah's will that I save you? I stopped feeling pain today. You know what that means. I understand why my family is struggling so much with this, but you especially should know that this is not an ending, but a new beginning. You know I am just as bound to this world as you are. I cannot travel back and forth as I please. As short as your lives are, think I would have so little time with you. I would have loved more time with you. You know I never got any of your stories. I am sure in your long tenure in this world, you have many. What of your children? I have lived with this pain for the past 10 years for them. I am finished, Madam Fairy. You know I have been seeing my mother quite a bit in my dreams lately. I am looking forward to getting to know her. Your wife? Any one of my sons will take wonderful care of my wife. My great consolation is that when I see her again, I really will have her forever. You're so used to difficulty that when someone does offer you an easy way, you don't know what to do. Anyone with any sense of self would take what I am offering. Don't you see? I have enough sense of self to know that this is my time to leave. I accept that as I have accepted everything in my life. Will you do one thing for me? I, like everyone else, can refuse you nothing. What is your will? When the time comes, help my family. I will. Please, call my family in. I would like to explain my decision to them so they don't turn on you, he smiled. Gulnara and Jalal heard many raised voices and a lot of crying and weeping. First, Junaid's children came out. Then his wife. She grabbed both Gulnara's hands. They both understood. Junaid's sons, however, did not. At breakfast, Junaid's oldest son made this pronouncement. I don't care what he says, you will save him, Madam Fairy. It's not what he wants, she said quietly. I don't care what he wants, he said, with a tremor in his voice. He will never forgive any of us, you know that, she responded. He'll forgive us when he is healthy and happy. Come with me, Seth. Gulnare, I will not allow you or my own son to go against my husband's wishes, Leela cried. Mother, stop it, Seth, you have said enough. Then Gulnare took both Leela's hands, looked into her eyes, and said, it will be fine. Leela believed her. When Junaid's family entered the room where Junaid lay, they found him with the most peaceful look on his face. Leela and Gulnare took each other's hands again. Saf tried to wake his father. Then they all tried to wake him, all except Leela, Jalal, and Gulnare. Saf glanced at Leela and Gulnare and walked out of the room. Then Leela and Gulnare consoled the other children. Leela cried alone later. Gulnare cried with Jalal. For all his disappointment, setback, and pain, Allah, granter of wishes, granted Junaid's last wish. He left this world precisely the way he wanted, with all he loved by his side. As for Gulnare, she kept her promise to Junaid and kept an eye on his children after his death and beyond. She grew to admire his children as well. She saw a bit of Junaid in all of them. What surprised her most was that he lived most in his daughters. They all had the same unflappable spirit, especially his youngest. Yet even though he lived in his children, she never forgot Junaid. She never forgot the charming rascal who restored her faith in human beings. If you like this story is available in Scheherazade's Daughters, which is available on Amazon.com, as well as the Siddiqui Brothers in Cairo. You can read my other work on my blog, my Behind and Beyond the Veil blog, at www.saminakmogul.com. That is the April short story share. I hope you enjoyed it. Good night and love and light.